Hello, my name is Todd Baginski. My team and I built the property management code sample for Microsoft. In this series of videos, I'm going to walk you through the Android Repair app. This series of videos will not only give you a walkthrough of the code in the Android Repair app, but it will show you how you start at the very beginning to create an Android application that integrates with Office 365 services. To get started, we need to first learn how to create a native Android application. To create a native Android application, you're just going to use one of the out-of-the-box Android app templates in Android Studio. Then you will add the Office 365, Active Directory Authentication Library, or ADAL, and the LiveAuth Authentication Library references to your gradle.build file. After you've done that, you'll be able to use the ADAL and/or LiveAuth to authenticate to different Office 365 services. Once you are authenticated, you can use Office 365 SDKs to interact with Office 365 services. Let me show you a quick example now of how easy it is to get started to build your own Android app. The first thing that I'll do is open Android Studio, like you see here. Then I'll click Start a New Android Studio Project. Here, I'll give my Android Studio project a name. Then I'll click Next, and here I'll choose the API set I want, and move forward and select a blank activity. I'll just leave the activity name in the same by default here and click Finish. At this point, Android Studio is creating my project for me. And after my project has been completed, it will look like this. The next thing that I'm going to do is dig down into my project and open up my Gradle file. This will allow me to include the dependencies that I need. This is the one I'm after right here. In my dependencies section, here I'm going to add in the different pieces that I need to register the different libraries that will allow me to interact with authentication and other Office 365 services. In the dependencies section, I'm going to paste in this information here instead of typing it to make it a little quicker. You can see by the different comments I have on the different libraries I'm including what they are. In lines 26 and 27, I'm including the base OData libraries required to interact with the ADAL library as well as Office 365 libraries. In lines 30 and 31, I'm adding the references to the libraries for the Discovery and Outlook services. In line 34, I add the ADAL library, and in line 37, I'm adding the library to authenticate with OneNote. You need LiveAuth to do that to allow you to work with the OneNote APIs. After I've done that, I'll click Sync now on the top, and Gradle will go and download all of those different libraries and put them inside of my particular project I have here and compile everything. At this point, I'm ready to go and start implementing authentication as well as API calls into Office 365 services. Now that you've added the libraries, you can proceed to authenticate your application to Azure Active Directory. It's really easy to get started with authentication for Android. You can use the Office 365 Connect sample for Android. Here you can see the URL to that particular sample in the Office Dev repository on GitHub. Here's what you'll find in that particular sample. The Office 365 Android Connect is a very simple application. They have a video here you can watch of it, and I'm going to show you how to configure it in just a second. And pretty much what this sample does is show you how to implement the plumbing to use ADAL to authenticate and to make a simple API call to send an email from Office 365 Exchange. As you look at the README documentation, you will see that they provide you a series of prerequisites as well as instructions on how to open the sample in Android Studio, configure it to work with your tenancy, and test it out. I'm going to walk through these steps to show you how easy this is right now. The first thing I did was clone this repository to my local machine and open it in Android Studio. So you're looking at the cloned project right now. The next thing that I do is go into Azure Active Directory and create an AAD application so I can get its client ID and its redirect URI. I've already done those steps to save us some time. After you do that, you're going to come up here in the client ID section and replace that with the GUID associated with your Azure Active Directory application. Then you will set your redirect URI right here. I'm going to now paste in the values that are used for my tenancy. That's all I have to do. Now I can hit play and I can select the particular emulator or physical device I wish to deploy this to. In this case, I'm going to go to my emulator. And we'll open up our emulator here, and we can now see that the application is running. First, you're prompted to connect to Office 365. And click the button, and now you can log in with your credentials. Now that I've entered my credentials, I'll click the Sign In button, and I will be redirected to the next page in the application. At this point, the application prompts me who I would like to send an email to. I'm going to send it to the same email account that I've logged into here. First, I'm going to open up my email and show you what that inbox looks like. And now we will click the mail button here to trigger sending of the email. You can see it found the service, it sent the email. And bingo, I have the email right here. So at that point, all I had to do was add in these two lines of code, and I'm completely wired up so that I have authentication, and I've already called an Office 365 service. That was pretty simple, wasn't it? Inside of the same repository, you will also find instructions that tell you how to reuse the code inside the Office 365 Android Connect sample. You can see the URL to that particular web page here. If I go to that web page, we can take a closer look at the things you need to do to reuse this sample. The first thing that you'll do is copy the Gradle dependencies into your app. You already saw me do this as part of our opening demo. The next thing you will do is set the permissions for the app in the app manifest so that it can get to the internet and work with Office 365. Then you'll create the constants interface, which was already created in the application that I just edited, and you'll add your client ID and your redirect URI there as well. After that, copy the entire Authentication Manager class to your project. Then implement the OnActivityResult method and get the discovery info for the service that you want to access. Once you're done doing that, get and use the client object so that you can interact with Office 365. Here's the code on the client object that was used to actually send the email in the Office 365 Connect sample. Now that we've seen how to get up and running with authentication and the different libraries that we need to put into our Android app to make it work, let's take a closer look at the actual code inside of the Android Repair app that is part of the Property Management Code sample. I'm now going to dig into the sign-in page and show you how we return an access token and then create a list client with the access token to access SharePoint list data. I will also show you how we create the Graph Service client and the OneNote API client with the same access token. Finally, I'll show you how we set the authorization header to invoke the Office 365 Video Portal REST APIs and authenticate to that service as well. The first thing I'm going to do is walk you through what sign-in looks like in the repair application so we can talk about it with a little bit more context. So I have just started up the repair application in my Android emulator here. I'm using a Nexus 7 device so I can fit it on the screen as part of this recording. We've actually built this application so it targets a Nexus 9 device. That's why the fonts and some of the graphics in the application may look a little bit fuzzy here. So when I click sign in, the first thing that's going to happen is the ADAL library is going to check locally to see if I've already signed in and if I have an access token for this application. Because I do not have one yet, it's now going to prompt me to authenticate myself to Office 365. Now that I've entered my credentials, I'll click the sign in button on this web page, and that will sign me into Office 365. My token will be cached locally by the ADAL library, and if I go to sign into the application again and my access token is not expired at that point, it's just going to pass that access token straight to the authentication dance and I will be logged in. So now we've seen what it looks like when we log in, and we'll get back to the application and diving in and looking at the data and how we get it a little bit more detail in the rest of this video series. But for now, let's talk about what happened during that authentication process. All right, I'm looking at the code now inside of Android Studio, and notice I'm looking at the sign-in activity here. This is the class which has the logic in it that correlates to my sign-in page. The first thing that you'll notice that we do inside of the onCreate method is the authentication helper class. This is the same class we took from the sample I showed you before, and it's been enhanced a little bit to provide some additional functionality for this sample. But that authentication helper class right here is going to be initialized. So if we go to definition on initialize method here, we can see the first thing that we do is we establish the authentication context for this particular application, and we pass in the constant for that AAD authority. Again, this is just like the constants file that we saw in the O365 Android Connect Starter project, and this is basically the endpoint to the AAD authority there to get me logged in. After we have initialized, that's all we're going to do at this point, and then we're going to set the start authentication method as the on-click listener for the sign-in button you saw me click. So when that particular button is clicked, start authentication is fired, and inside of that you can see we again call into the authentication helper class and we call acquire token and we pass in the SharePoint resource ID. The SharePoint resource ID here is set equal to the SharePoint URL, which is the path to the tenancy that I have this app configured to work with. So again, in the initialize method here, or pardon me, if we back up, here we are, we're going to call the acquire token method and we're going to say we want to acquire it for the SharePoint site. And then we're going to register our callback method for onSuccess and call handle success. So if we jump into the authentication helper class and look at acquire token, you can see here that under the hood, we're calling get authentication context and then the acquire token method on that. And that is going to actually acquire the token that we have. If I go to decompile that one here and we look at this one, you can see in the tooltip that pops up, this is coming out of the AAD library that I added as a reference to my project. So after we have acquired the token, we're going to call handle success, and you could use this code right here to echo information about that particular token that we get back and that authentication result. But in our case, what we're going to do is we're going to set the user ID property in the app and the token in the app by using the different methods on the authentication result we received back from the authentication helper class. This is where we use get access token to set the token that we will reuse throughout the application. Finally, when we're done, we call sign in complete here. And after sign in is complete, basically that is going to start the activity to go to our incident detail page. Some of the other things inside of our authentication helper class that I would like to talk about also include how we're establishing the list client that we use to talk to SharePoint with the access token, how we create the Graph Service client, and how we create the OneNote API client so we can talk to the Graph Service and the OneNote services as well, and then how we're setting the authorization header to the Office 365 video portal. So let me start walking through those now. As I mentioned, in our sign-in activity, we're going to start the incident activity here after we have signed in. And so here is our incident activity. Inside of our incident activity, we eventually find our way to this load data method when the page is first loaded. The load data method is going to first return a collection of all the incidents from the incidents list in the SharePoint site collection. And to do that, this line of code right here is going to make that happen. So if we look at the get data source method here, and we can see that this is creating a list helper class. The list helper, if we go to definition on that one, is one of the helper classes we've created here. And this class, if we look at the import statements, you can see that we are using the SharePoint Office 365 Android SDK import statements here to allow us to work with it and get list items from SharePoint. So when our list helper class is first instantiated, you can see it creates an instance of the list client, which comes from the library that we imported. Now, to create our list client and call get incidents on it, what we do is we establish a query to get that data inside of there, but you notice nowhere inside of this code I set a bearer token. And the reason I don't have to set the bearer in the authorization header is because under the hood, this list client class, when we created the instance of it inside of get data source, we call authentication helper get SharePoint list client, and we pass it that token that we originally obtained when we authenticated to the application for the first time. So if we look at get SharePoint list client method here, we're back in the authentication helper class, you'll notice. We pass in that access token, we create an OAuth credential class out of it, and then we instantiate a new instance of our list client, pointing it at the SharePoint site we wish to interact with, as well as the SharePoint site path. This is the actual site collection inside of the tenancy we're going to work with, and then that credential class. And so at that point, we now have a fully instantiated list client object we can use to make queries into this site collection to get data out of SharePoint lists. The next piece of the puzzle is creating our Graph Service client. Now, our Graph Service client is used to interact with many of the different pieces inside of the Office 365 group and Exchange, things like getting back members and conversations and files. Stuff like that is what we use the AAD client for. Down here inside of our authentication helper, we also have a method we'll see called later called getGraphServiceClient. This one calls into the method we created called getTClientAAD. We pass in the graph resource ID, the graph resource URL, the AAD client ID, and the instance of the class for the graph service client. That's going to call this method right here that I spoke about. So this method right here is going to get our authentication context, then it's going to call the acquire token method on it, and once it gets the token back and on success, then it's going to use the get dependency resolver for this access token to instantiate a new instance of the graph service client class and pass it back to us. At that point, I can use that graph service client class to instantiate operations upon anything that the graph API has available for me. The next piece of the puzzle is the OneNote client, and we'll see when this is invoked later as we look at our OneNote code and how we interact with OneNote inside of the Office 365 Unified Group. And the get OneNote client news up a new instance of OneNote client API class, passes in the OneNote resource URL, and again uses get dependency resolver right here with the token that we already have acquired on our initial login to instantiate our OneNote API client class that we can then use to interact with OneNote inside of the Office 365 group. There's some other things we need to do with regard to authentication as well. And these things use the approach of passing the token as part of the bearer as we set the authorization header when we make REST API calls to different APIs we're using in this sample. The file helper class has a really good example of all three scenarios where we use this. In the file helper class, here's an example of a method called getFiledID. And this particular method here, as you can see, is using the SharePoint REST API to get back a file ID for a given file and a given list. And to do our authentication here, we're adding to our request header the bearer and the authorization header, and we're passing the token. And this is the token that, again, we originally acquired when we clicked the sign in button to sign into this application. So that's the first place we use it, is when we interact with SharePoint REST APIs to go after document libraries, like in this call right here. Another place we use it is in the get user photo method. In this method, you can see we're calling out to the Outlook API, in the Graph API actually, that allows us to access Exchange and Outlook. And we are retrieving the user's profile picture. Here we're retrieving the one that's 48 by 48 pixels big. And we use this to display it next to the list of members, which you'll see in the application shortly. Again, we're adding the header for the authorization and the bearer, and using the same token we acquired when we clicked the sign in button. The third type of REST API we use the token and the authorization header is the Office 365 Video API. And here's an example of returning a channel URL for a given channel name by invoking the REST API associated with the O365 video portal. Again, you can see here we add the authorization header for the bearer and we include the token to allow us to authenticate. So those are all the different ways that we are authenticating to all the different pieces of the puzzle and the different APIs inside of Office 365. Now that we understand how we can authenticate to Azure Active Directory and the various Office 365 services that support the Property Manager Code Sample Android Repair application, let's look at how we worked with the SharePoint REST API to return list items and documents from SharePoint lists and document libraries. To access list items, we use the List Helper class. The List Helper class relies on the following import statements that you will see at the top of this class. These are all items particular to SharePoint that is part of the Office 365 Android SDK. After we've added these different import methods, we can use the ListClient class and call the getListItems method to return items from SharePoint lists. We can also call the ListClient updateListItem method to update list items inside of SharePoint lists. As I just mentioned, the ListClient class, which I touched on a little bit in my first dive into the code here, is used to access the data inside of our SharePoint lists. We already reviewed how these import statements right here are specific to the API that we have included, as we referenced it in our Gradle build file, that allow us to work with the SharePoint list data. I also already showed you how the ListClient class was instantiated and why we do not need to include an access token as we use the ListClient class, because it already has the authentication context and the access token associated with it. So let's see how we actually really use this class to go and query data inside of SharePoint. There's two methods I'd like to focus on here first. The first one is the getListItems method. As I mentioned, the getIncidents method here is fired when we originally open up the application for the first time and we get the list of incidents we're going to display in the right side of the application. If I come back to my emulator, that is these incidents in the right side. So in order to get all this list data back in the right side, I'm calling that method that we're working with inside of Android Studio right now. So getIncidents is that method that gets us the data back. And the first thing that I do in there is I tell it which property ID I'm interested in. The application is set up such that you can pass in a given property ID to it and then only return the incidents associated with that property ID. The property ID is stored in the SharePoint list with this column value here. So as I create my query, I'm saying I want to select everything into my incident model, and I want to order it by this date. I want to make sure that this field is equal to the property ID, which you can see is passed into this method. And the inspection ID is greater than 0. That indicates that an inspection has occurred. And the room ID is greater than 0. That indicates it's associated with the room. Those things are basically done to ensure that we've got good data coming back. After I formulate my query, the next thing I'm going to do is call the getListItems method. Here I'm going to tell it which list I want to run the query against. And then I pass in my query and call the get method. That will return me this collection of SP list item. After I have that collection back, then what I do is I bind my model to that collection and I return the model so then I can display it and render it in the page. But really, all of the heavy lifting done with this associated with querying the SharePoint list via the ListClient class is right what I've highlighted right there. You can see that I have the list name stored here in my constants if I go to the definition. So that's the incidents list I was querying in that case. If I come back to my list helper class, I'd also like to show you how you update data inside of SharePoint list via this API. So if we come down here to one of our update methods, you can see we get a hold of the list that we'd like to work with by calling the list client getList method. We pass in the name of our incidents list and call get, and now we have a SharePoint list object to work with. And then I call update list item, and here I'm going to pass in the data that comes back from my incident model and tell it which list I wish to update. And I'm all set. So that's all it takes to update a list item via the ListClient API. The next piece of the puzzle is accessing documents inside of SharePoint document libraries. The File Helper class is what does all the operations that allow us to do this. The SharePoint REST API is used to interact with documents and document libraries. At this point in time, the Office 365 Android SDK does not support any native operations that allow us to interact with documents. That's why we use the SharePoint REST API to interact with document libraries. Let's dig into the code and see how that's done. Here I have the File Helper class open inside of the Repair app. As I touched on before when I discussed the authentication method and how we use the authorization header to add the bearer and the token to authenticate us, we've seen this class before. I'm going to walk you through how we get files from SharePoint document libraries as well as how we upload files to those document libraries. The get file method here is used to return files from SharePoint document libraries. If you look at the usages for this file here in our usage list, you can see it is used inside of the incident activity to return files to show us pictures from room inspection photos as well as property photos. And in the detail view, it also returns room inspection photos as well as repair photos. And again, the property photos associated with this particular incident. If we take a look at the emulator and running the sample, that is how I retrieved these pictures right here, this picture here, and if we dig into a particular incident by clicking on it, we can look at the inspector comments and photos and see that that's where this photo was returned as well. So that's how we're returning all those photos that are stored in the SharePoint document library by invoking this getFile method. So really, how does this getFile method work with regard to getting the data out of SharePoint? Well, it's really just an HTTP request we're making with the OKHTTP client here. And you can see here is the URL to the SharePoint REST API that is going to, we're going to invoke this REST API call to retrieve those files back. So if you've ever worked with the SharePoint REST API before, this is going to be nothing new to you, but you can see essentially we make a new HTTP request. We take the file URL, which is this one here, which takes the SharePoint URL, the SharePoint site path, and then tacks on the call to the REST API here and pulls back our list of files from our file from the SharePoint website. So after we have our request created, we create a new call, pass in the request, and execute it, and that gets us a response back. After we have our response back, then we can turn that into a bitmap here and return that bitmap after we've saved it to our cache so that we can work with it inside of the application. Next piece of the puzzle is uploading files. So let's take a look at everywhere we upload a file in the application. Here you can see that we're using this in one spot right here. And it comes in our incident detail activity where we call filehelper.uploadfile right there. And this functionality is invoked when you come into take a new picture with the device and then upload it to the SharePoint document library. And here's one, the sample one I took with the emulator. So when a repair person takes a picture with the mobile app on their device, this allows them to upload that picture that they took during the repair to the SharePoint document library. It's a very similar pattern on how we downloaded the file from SharePoint on how we upload it. Basically, we're calling the SharePoint REST API again, and here you can see we use the file add method, and we tell it to overwrite it, which list we're putting it in, and the image name we're going to upload. We turn that into a post file URL by appending the REST API call to the end of the SharePoint URL and the path to our SharePoint site collection. Again, we're using the OKHTTP client. In this case, we create a new request and we set the media type for application octet stream and bytes so that we can pass in our file that we wish to upload. We register that as the URL that we're going to invoke on the request. Again, we have our authorization header with the token in there that authenticates us. And we also add another header here to allow it to accept different types of images that we may wish to upload. Notice instead of a GET request, we're making a POST request here, and then we're passing in the request body to that. And then when we get the response back, we just check if that is a 200. And there's some other different notes in here you can read about this API in particular and what works well. You see different code samples on the internet that talk about using this approach to upload a file via Android, but we have found that this approach is more stable. You can learn more about that down here. So that covers it for how we upload and download files from SharePoint document libraries. Now we've seen how we work with the SharePoint list and document libraries, let's move on to what we do with the Graph API now inside of the Android Repair app. The Graph API allows us to access several different things, the first of which is the Office 365 group members. Inside of the Incident Detail Activity class, first we use the Group Fetcher class, which allows us to return the members of an Office 365 group. We also have the Get Group Member Photo method, which is in turn going to invoke the Get User Photo method in the File Helper class. That's what allows us to return the thumbnail image for someone's picture that they have uploaded to Office 365. Let's jump into the code now and see how that works. Before I jump into the code here on the Incident Detail Activity class to show you how we return the group members, let me show you what it looks like inside of the application. So here we are looking at our repair application again, and we have the Property Members tab that we can click here. When we click the Property Members tab, we're using the Graph API to go out to the Office 365 group associated with this property for this incident and return the members from that Office 365 group, and then we return the pictures for those members as well. So here you can see our member list has been populated, and then we pulled down our pictures for those users as well. If we click the View All button here, that allows us to go directly to the web browser to see the group members page in the Office 365 group. So to get that data, that uses the Incident Detail Activity class that makes up that part of the application. The first thing that happens when we come into that page is we are going to check if we have a Graph Service client already instantiated and a group fetcher. If we don't, then we're going to create our Graph Service client. As I mentioned before, in the Authentication Helper class, we call the Get Graph Service Client, and this uses the access token and the dependency resolver to actually give us an instance of the Graph Service Client class we can use to invoke the Graph APIs programmatically. The next thing we're going to do is create a Group Fetcher class. And the Group Fetcher class is basically a class that correlates to an individual group in Office 365. Here we use the Graph Service Client and we call the Get Groups method, and then we say get us the group that has the ID equal to the incident that we're currently working with, properties group. If I jump into this guy right here and look at Get Group, you can see under the hood, basically, this is the SL group column inside of that list where we store the value for the Office 365 Unified Group. If you look at the provisioning video series that I created, you'll see how after we provision Office 365 groups automatically, we write this list column value with the ID that correlates to the Office 365 group. After we have the group fetcher, then what we are able to do is we are able to call the Get Group Members. And so the Get Group Members class here says use our group fetcher class and call Get Members on it. That's all you have to do. After you get the group members back, the success method you can see right here handles the callback. And then here we have the different users that come back in that list. And now in our model, we can set the user's display name and their email and add them to the model, which we then use in the future to bind up to the UI so that you can see the user's detail displayed right here. We also displayed the picture for each group member. So let's take a look and get group members to see how we did that. As we just looked at, we saw how we return the members and we add them to our model. When we call bind group member here, eventually what we're going to do is call down into the group member photo and get that photo for the user. Now, to get that member photo back, the get group member photo method here is invoked, and that method right there is then going to go off to Outlook and return that information back to us. That is, once again, inside of the Get User Photo class I went through earlier in the file helper, which showed how, right here, we use the bearer token for authentication. We eventually use this particular REST API against the graph in order to return us that information from Outlook. So that's how the information is returned and gives us that bitmap we need to display a member's photo. In addition to accessing group members, we can also access conversations within the Office 365 groups. Inside of the Incident Detail Activity class, we again use the Group Fetcher class that allows us to invoke the Get Conversations method and return the different conversations associated with the Office 365 group. Again, let's jump back into the code and take a look at how that's implemented. Notice I'm in the Incident Detail Activity class again, and this time I'm looking at the Get Group Conversation method. This is how we return the conversations associated with the Office 365 group. We use our group fetcher class again that we already instantiated because that was done when the incident detail activity class was created, as I showed you as we looked at how we got back group members. So all we have to do is call get conversations. That's it. And inside of our callback and our own success method, now we can return all of our conversations in that list, and we can go through each item in that list, and we can add all of them to our conversation model that we bind up to the user interface. So first we pull back the topic, and then we pull back the preview, as well as the URL that we would use to click on it and access it inside of the web browser. So this code is pulling back what we see here in the Conversations tab. So there we go to load the group conversations. And here you can see the topic is repair event in this case. The preview is dispatcher comments here. And then when I click it and it opens up the web browser and it takes me to this item in the Office 365 OA interface, it uses the URL that we constructed with this line of code right there. So that's all there is to it for getting conversations back. That's a very simple thing. That does it for this video and this video series about the Android repair application associated with the property management code sample. In the next video in the series, I will go over how we access group files, group notes, sending email, how we implemented deep links in the application, and how we integrated with the Office 365 Video Portal API. If you'd like to learn more information about the Property Manager code sample or the repair app, I recommend you check out the following sessions from Build 2015. The first session, titled Integrating Web Apps with Office 365, I co-presented with Doreen Brown from Microsoft. In this session, we give you an overview of how to build web apps with Office 365. It doesn't focus on the Android part so much, but it does give you the context of the other pieces of the Property Manager code sample. In the iOS and Android apps with Office 365 session, you will find a whole bunch of information regarding how to start from scratch with iOS, Android, and Cordova, and how to build applications in those technologies that allow you to authenticate and invoke Office 365 services. There is a good amount of overlap in this session that I'm recording right now with the one that we recorded at Build, you see listed at the bottom of the screen here. If you wish to learn more about Office 365 development, please check out the Office 365 Patterns and Practices. Here you will find many different Visual Studio projects and code samples that show you how to do all kinds of things in Office 365. Go to dev.office.com to sign up for a developer account. This will allow you to create applications on Office 365. Check out the API sandbox so you can explore the APIs and learn about how they work and what you can do with them. And also check out the training that you can get in dev.office.com/training. There are many more training videos such as this one, which walk you through samples and show you how to build things in Office 365. We welcome your feedback on the property inspection code sample as well as this training video. Please feel free to speak out in the Office 365 network and join into conversations there about this sample and many others. If you have suggestions on what you'd like to see in future versions of the technology in general, or in terms of the training and code samples, go to User Voice and let your voice be known. Tell us what you're looking for. Finally, you can also head over to Stack Overflow to talk with other developers worldwide about questions regarding Office 365 development. I hope you learned a lot from this training series about Android and how you can create Android apps that integrate with Office 365. Thanks for your time today. Have a good one.